I never really knew what I was getting into, and I became a priest. This weekend is a good example of that. So on Friday, my assailant who assaulted me at the Cathedral of St. Paul during Mass, you have to buy my memoir for the full story, went on trial. So that's a different thing you don't really expect in St. Paul. That evening, I emceed a banquet for the Catholic schools. So that was very interesting. I was told by a few people, you really missed your calling. You should have been a stand-up comedian instead of a priest. I was like, well, that's an interesting priority of life vocations that you have there. I think I'll choose priesthood. And then last night, I helped out at the after prom party, which lasted till about 2:30 a.m. And that was, I just say yes to anything. So any weddings, bar mitzvahs, you know, charity balls, I'm available. You can't beat my rates either because it's zero, so you get what you pay for. But what's beautiful is there's students who are actually at that after prom party who are here today. So if you see anyone looking a little zombie-like, just give them a pat on the back. They came to Mass the next day. It's beautiful. But there was also a Mass offered before prom that they didn't go to, so they have that opportunity. So if you listened to our readings today, we hear in the Acts of the Apostles about St. Peter and how, as leader of the church, how he was boldly preaching the gospel in front of all the Jews in Jerusalem at the time who were actively persecuting. Think of these people who had just killed Jesus, and now Peter and the other apostles and disciples are preaching boldly the same message that Jesus himself proclaimed and was killed for. But then you go to the gospel, which is backwards chronologically. The gospel happened first in our readings today. Peter is acting like a complete fool. What's going on with Peter? All of a sudden, he's like, I'm going fishing. I don't know what I'm doing with my life anymore. And he sees Jesus, and he jumps out of the boat for some reason and starts kind of swimming. He's not wearing much clothes, the gospel tells us. Peter's running around like almost like a complete idiot in the gospel today, just like not knowing what he's doing with his life, just kind of scampering around, going from here to there, fishing, running to Jesus, having breakfast with him, which is the best line in all of the Gospels when Jesus says, come have breakfast. Very concrete. But then we see a very tender moment after that when Jesus has eaten with Peter and calls him aside and says three times, he says, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, you know, Lord, all things. You know that I love you. And Peter, first of all, is just a note. If you read the Gospels and read the Acts of the Apostles and read the letters of St. Paul all the way through the New Testament, it's very clear that St. Peter is the head of the church, that it's not something that was invented. It's very biblical that as Christians, the tradition from the Scripture, the first centuries on, St. Peter is so very clearly the head of the church. And obviously, we know that the Pope today is the successor of St. Peter, that God gave a certain structure to those followers of his, who we call Christians, and that's, we're descendants of them today. But it's very clear through all the scriptures that Peter is the head of the apostles, and that was meant to be continued on through the centuries to our own day. But Peter also represents us in a certain way. He represents every Christian. And we see him not knowing what's going on, kind of being lost in a certain way, obviously having betrayed and denied Christ, denied after spending 3 years with him, denied even knowing him. Three times he denied even knowing him. As his friend, he completely betrayed his friend. He said to the random stranger, I don't even know who you're talking about. Jesus? Who? Jesus who? And then we see the same man in the Acts of the Apostles just a few, you know, days later, a few months later, boldly proclaiming the gospel, looking like a totally different person. And eventually we know that he suffers even death for the sake of Christ. This is the kind of model for all Christians, that we encounter Christ at a certain point. We encounter the risen Lord. And if you ever think of your life and you imagine, what if I weren't Christian? What would my life look like? If it's not radically different than the life you're living now, then you're not fully embracing being a disciple of the risen Lord. Peter's life changed radically. He followed him for a while, but it was that life-changing encounter with Christ on the shore of Sea of Galilee that completely changed his life. An encounter with Christ doesn't just add something to your schedule. Well, now I'm a Christian, I got to go to church once a week on Sunday. It has to radically change every single aspect of your life. And just like Peter, there's moments where we deny Christ. We say, nah, not for me right now. And it's so consoling to see that Jesus, the risen Lord, comes to him and says three times, not for his sake, Jesus knew everything, as Peter said, but for Peter's sake, Jesus asks him, do you love me? So that Peter knew in his heart, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, I love you. That Jesus would not allow Peter to give up on himself. Jesus never gave up on Peter, but more dangerous was Peter giving up on Peter. That he knew what he had done, that he knew he had fallen. And Jesus wouldn't let Peter give up on himself. And that's the model of all Christianity. If you think, even myself, I'm a priest, okay. First of all, I honestly can't really imagine my life as not being Catholic. It informs everything I do, which doesn't mean I always do everything right. But I can't imagine not having the risen Lord there for me to go to remind me that I do love him, to not let me give up on myself. If you think you have doubts and that makes you a bad Christian, you think how many times Peter must have doubted, how many times Peter must have said to himself, did he really rise from the dead? Think about after Jesus ascended to heaven. Peter must have asked himself all the time, did I just imagine a lot of stuff in the past few years? It's not wrong that doubts creep into our mind that we think sometimes, am I following the right thing? But that we have to have that boldness of St. Peter. And hopefully in your life at some point, you've had a deep encounter with the risen Lord, that you've had some special privileged moment where you and the Lord were very close to one another, where you felt his presence, and where in that moment, you were very convicted that he was real, that there is a risen Lord for you who saves you. And then life goes on, right? And then the same kind of old stuff happens again and again, one thing after another. And then you think, did that really happen? Is it really true that I'm a Christian, that I'm following this person? Am I just doing this because whatever reason, maybe I was raised this way? But we get those privileged moments. We get those privileged encounters with the risen Lord as special gifts. Now, it would be nice if we had it all the time. But like Peter, there's privileged moments in our life where we do experience the risen Lord, where he is made very clear to us. And those things aren't just meant for that moment. They're not just meant for that little day on the calendar and then you just say, well, that was nice, moving on. They're meant to keep going back to over and over and over. Just like God is infinite, those privileged moments of encounter with God have infinite amount of help for us, that we can keep going back to them over and over and over and remind ourselves that, no, we do believe that as the beloved disciple St. John said to St. Peter in our gospel today, it is the Lord. That experience was an experience of the Lord. Even when we're confused, even when we're doubting, that we can say, it is the Lord. And when we do that, when we make that commitment, when we say, at the end of the day, I believe Jesus is Lord, and our lives cannot stay the same. Nothing in our life can stay the same. Jesus isn't just something added on. As St. Peter shows us, St. Peter was what? A fisherman. When he's confused about Christ, what does he go back to? Being a fisherman. But finally, after he encountered the risen Lord, while he was fishing, while he was back in his old way of life, he finally realizes, my life isn't about fishing anymore. My life isn't about whatever I thought it was about. My life is about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And once you accept that, then there's a whole new boldness in your life, a whole new conviction. As Christians today, we need more than ever to have that boldness, that conviction, because it's not easy to be a Christian. Now, ask St. Peter, was it easy to be Christian in his day? No, it's never been easy to be a Christian. And so we need that encounter. We need to create space in our lives to re-encounter that risen Lord, to have him remind us, it is the Lord, I am the Lord, I know you love me. Now go out there, go. Stop looking inward, go look outward, go spread this message boldly, even when it's uncomfortable, even when people kind of roll their eyes. That once we encounter the risen Lord, we can't be content to stay in the same place. We can't be content to go back to whatever fishing is for us. And even if we've been Catholic for a long time, that God is always calling us to be more bold, to be more proactive, to go out there and spread his gospel, which obviously doesn't mean being weird. You don't have to knock on your neighbor's door now and say, have you heard of Jesus? No, you don't have to do that. Just be in whatever sphere of life that you're in. Just show that being a disciple of the risen Lord is something that is very meaningful to you, is life-giving, that makes you more joyful, more forgiving. That they experience that, all those good things in you, and then they realize, hey, I want to be like that. I want to experience whatever he or she is experiencing. And then when they get to know you more and more, they realize, oh, it's because this person is a disciple of the risen Lord. They're not perfect. They don't always have it together. Sometimes they run around like St. Peter did, looking confused. But at the end of the day, the thing that gives their life meaning is being a disciple of the risen Lord. At the end of the day, amidst all the doubts and uncertainties and the rigmarole of life, that they're a disciple of the risen Lord. So let us say with the beloved disciple today, when we look at the Eucharist, when we see Jesus in the Eucharist, the risen Lord present for us, let us say with him, it is the Lord. At the end of the day, yes, it is the Lord. And our lives can never stay the same.